If birds of a feather flock together, what do words of a feather do? I'm Kay McIntyre, and today on KPR Presents, Words of a Feather, a brand new publication by Humanities Kansas. I'm visiting with Leslie Van Holten. She's the Director of Grants and Outreach at Humanities Kansas. Leslie, it is great to see you again.
Great. Thank you for having me, Kay.
What is Words of a Feather?
Words of a Feather is a new, what we're calling a DIY humanities project. So the idea came up last fall. We were strategizing, trying to come up with ways for people to engage with the humanities during the pandemic. And so DIY Humanities came up as sort of providing tools to let people go out and enjoy poetry or history or literature without having to get together in a room with other people, which is usually what our programs a lot of times have been based on. So, and this also came about because we knew that Kansans were eagerly going out to the state parks and enjoying the outdoors during this time. So hence Words of a Feather.
It's a chapbook. And for people who aren't really familiar with the world of poetry, describe a chapbook.
A chapbook is just a small, you know, some people call it a booklet. It's a small collection of poems that's not large enough to, I guess, to qualify as a book of poetry.
Words of a Feather contains 10 poems about Kansas birds. First of all, how did you select the birds?
The poets selected the birds. So we worked with Brad Sneed, and he has a full collection of these bird illustrations that he does. And he was so generous and just opened up his portfolio for the poets to pick a bird. And so that's how they were chosen.
I'm visiting with Leslie Van Holten of Humanities Kansas about Words of a Feather, one of their newest projects. Leslie, it's funny that you describe it that way because I was going back and forth on, do I ask you first, how did you pick the poets or how did you pick the birds? Obviously, you picked the poets. How did you pick the 10 poets that contributed to Words of a Feather?
What we did is we worked with Megan Kamensky, who is a poetry professor and a poet herself at University of Kansas, when we knew that we wanted to do an environmental humanities project. She was the first person that came to mind because so much of her work is with connecting people through poetry to the land and the world, outdoor world around them. So once we worked with her, then she reached out to the network of poets, inviting the ones that she thought would be a good voice and a good fit for this book.
Are there common threads? Obviously, birds, but are there other common threads that wind their way through the selections?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, there's a strong sense of home, which was interesting to me because although 8 of the 10 poets do have Kansas connections and have lived in Kansas at some point in their lives, you know, many of them have, like many Kansans do, they have moved to, you know, where their job is in Minnesota or, you know, New Mexico, for instance. But there was a very strong sense of home that came out in these poems, inspired by the birds. And I think it makes a lovely analogy to the migration of birds, you know, and how a lot of these birds are in Kansas for part of the year, but not all of the year, and certainly not all of their lives. But it's home to them in the spring, for instance. I think the poets, you know, showed a similar migratory pull, I guess, that brings them to Kansas, and then they leave, and then they come back.
Leslie, you describe this as a DIY, a do-it-yourself humanities project. All right, there's artwork, there's poetry. Where's the DIY part?
The DIY part is the engagement. So we encourage people, and Megan also does in her introduction, to take the book outside, look for some of the birds, read some of the poems. You know, if you're out with your loved ones, discuss some of the themes in the poems and how they connect. Also, and then we also have, there's a really lovely historical piece, sort of the epilogue of the book by Kim Perez, who is a historian at Fort Hays State University. And so with the poetry, sometimes poetry can be a little intimidating for people who don't regularly read poetry. So we provided the history as another way for folks to get a foothold in these humanities discussions.
Leslie, it occurs to me that as someone who spent much of my life a little intimidated by poetry, that by this being such a small little booklet, that makes it much less intimidating. You're not picking up this heavy leather-bound tome of poetry. It's just a booklet that you can pick up and carry out to the park.
Yeah, we like to think that, yeah, we don't be intimidated by the poetry. And I understand, I think a lot of, actually, I take this back. All of the poems are very accessible also. You understand, you know, there's not strange language in it or really sort of, you know, avant-garde themes to it necessarily. So, you know, you can see the bird in the poem, and you can even, if you let yourself sort of ride the cadence of the words, you can feel the wing beats of the birds too, and, you know, just be enraptured. But don't go into it expecting to understand poetry. You don't have to. Read the poems and enjoy it for what they are.
I'm visiting with Leslie Van Holten of Humanities Kansas about Words of a Feather. It's one of their latest projects. Leslie, could I get you to pick up your copy of Words of a Feather, open it up to something, and maybe describe the bird and read a poem for me?
Oh, okay. I am going to go with, this is a poem I really love. It's by Kenise Gerbeau. And Kenise grew up Walnut, Kansas, and is now working on their PhD in poetry. So, and the bird is the great blue heron. This poem is Rapunzel with Head Half Shaved by Kenise Gerbeau. This peony too heavy to hold itself up. This great blue heron in slow-mo, opportunistic feeder, this rash, this calamine lotion, be vibrating my skull. I am looking for sick fish. No, algal bloom. There wasn't any juice in the fridge, so I drank the cattle vaccine. Let me come back as an orange flag marking a utility line or a rain gauge. Let me come back as aluminum, tetanus, and SureGel. I am listening for the last seal to pop. Vacuum. Long-legged or nesting 100 feet above you. This fiberglass insulation like pink cotton candy. This angle. This respirator. I don't think you can hear me over the air compressor. At 10:04 p.m., National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe, capable of, an interior room. Use blankets or pillows, your body in the nearest ditch.
That's Leslie Van Holten reading from Words of a Feather, one of the latest projects of Humanities Kansas. Leslie, after somebody has read this poem and maybe looked for this bird or seen this bird, what's the DIY part of that?
I think this poem is so rich with ideas to ponder, memories that you can explore, connections to the bird. Why I was drawn to this poem, I love the way Kenise has connected sort of the behavior of the great blue heron in the middle of the poem, while at the same time, I think anybody who grows up on a cattle farm like Canice has can connect, you know, that feeling of having, you know, the fridge is full of cattle vaccine or the air compressor is too loud, I can't hear what you said, and certainly the storm warning. And then also, and unfortunately the radio listeners won't be able to see this as I talk about it, but the way Canice plays with line and space on the page is also very engaging, and people can, after they share this poem with each other, you know, ponder, why did Canice write those final lines like that? Is it, you know, can it not, the radio can't be heard because of the air compressor. The line kind of takes the shape of a tornado a little bit. So, yeah.
Leslie, how is Words of a Feather being distributed?
We have been very fortunate with some partnerships to help us. The original funding for this project came from the Elizabeth Schultz Environmental Fund out of the Douglas County Community Foundation. And so because of that funding, part of the funding was 500 copies to distribute throughout Douglas County, which we have done with numerous partners, you know, including the Watkins Museum, the Spencer Museum of Art, Territorial Capital Museum in Lecompton, the Baldwin City Library, New Dora Historical Society.
The Baker Wetlands.
And the Baker Wetlands, yes, and Meals on Wheels and the Douglas County Senior Center. So, yeah, we have been really fortunate to have a lot of organizations and project directors in Douglas County to get this out. And then we had an opportunity present itself. The Kansas Tourism and Kansas State Parks wanted to partner. So they are distributing 1,500 copies to Kansas information centers, and then every state park in Kansas will have copies, including complimentary copies in all of the rental cabins across the state. So we thought that was a really fun new way for us to get humanities content out there. And then we also have 25 other cultural partners across the state who are distributing the book as well.
Leslie, when you talk about distributing the book, this is free.
It is free for Kansans, yes.
What a great way to get poetry in the hands of people without them feeling like they have to make a big investment of their money or just of their, even of their interest level to begin with.
True. Many of our programs, all of our programs that we do at Humanities Kansas, we want them to be accessible by all Kansans. And so, of course, cost is a big accessibility factor. So we were fortunate with our funding partners that they are the ones who have made it, and the Friends of the Humanities, I should say, also made it free for Kansans to enjoy.
I'm visiting with Leslie Van Holten of Humanities Kansas. We're talking about Words of a Feather, the latest project by Humanities Kansas. Leslie, talk about how Humanities Kansas has tried to respond to the pandemic. This has been such a strange year for all of us. And you guys have done a really wonderful job of maintaining connection with people, even as we've been, you know, locked up in our homes and not seeing each other.
So the humanities are all about connecting people, contextualizing, analyzing what's going on. The humanities are also everywhere, so you don't have to go to the library to engage with the humanities. So we were fortunate to be able to do our pivots, which were significant, but also knowing that, you know, there are ways for people to engage with the humanities, you know, not only through Zoom, but through your own bookshelf at home or your backyard. Some of the projects that we have done, one of my colleagues, you know, converted a lot of the Speakers Bureau and talk programs into telephone opportunities. We know that Kansas has areas still where broadband and internet is challenging. We were hearing from people who's, you know, they couldn't do Zoom meetings because their children were doing school online, and so there just wasn't the bandwidth available. So we had Dial-A-Talk, where you could have a book discussion through the telephone. We had Humanities Hotline, where you can hear these really great two-minute snippets about Kansas history or literature that maybe you hadn't heard before. That one's really fun. We did CARES Act grant funding to cultural organizations across the state. We were able to bring those funds to Kansas communities. And some quick grant opportunities in the early days of the pandemic to help organizations pivot some of their events from what they had planned would be in-person events, pivot them to online or other creative ways, outdoor exhibits and ways for people to engage in a safe way.
Leslie, how can people find out more information about what's happening with Humanities Kansas?
Well, we have our website, which is humanitieskansas.org. And then I, as much as I possibly can, encourage people to sign up for our e-news, which comes out once or twice a month. That's where you'll learn about opportunities like grant opportunities, things like that. And then our social media, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us there.
I've been visiting with Leslie Van Holten of Humanities Kansas. Leslie, thank you so much for visiting with us today. It is great to see you again.
Thank you, Kay. Always a joy to talk about poetry, so I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm Kay McIntyre. KPR Presents is a production of Kansas Public Radio at the University of Kansas.